Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Me, Bizarro. I love that guy.
Another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is The Boop Show, episode 223. It's Monday, September 16th, 2019. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to The Boop Show. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Brian Dunaway over there. Hello, Brian.
Oh, hi, Scott.
Brain. Anyone call you Brain by accident?
Oh, my accident. I've heard it my entire life. Hey, Brain.
Yeah. You know, all
hey, our, friend.
Every parent any of us ever had said we were smarter than we were. Oh, you're going to go on to do great things, oh they'd God, say. Yes. And then here we are.
Oh, my God.
Normal
you
average
know how much
guys.
I hate the word potential?
Yeah, I don't like it either. Do you feel like you've reached your potential? Do you feel like you've finally done it?
I actually have reached my potential. Scott, I growing up during the 80s, we had a lot of pressure to perform well financially as well as in the public eye.
Yeah.
But as I've gotten older, I've realized that success is not necessarily about the things that were put upon me. And I feel very successful. I have found happiness.
Success isn't exactly what they told us it would be, is it? It's a different thing.
It is nothing like they told us it would be. I am a very happy person with the things that I get to do and how I get to express myself creatively. I would have never guessed it would have been his current incarnation, but I am very pleased.
That makes me happy very to pleased. Hear that. I feel the same
yes.
way. I have also learned over time. Let this be a lesson to you 20-somethings. You don't know you don't know shit, but you will soon. Just kidding. You guys are great. We love you.
Hey, everybody gets older, including kids. All right.
No, so. Everybody's aging. They don't know it. And some people like to deny it, and they'll see somebody at the mall and go, that guy's old. But what they don't realize is he's aging at exactly the same rate they are. Ooh.
Same rate.
Same rate. Nothing you can do about it. That train just keeps moving, yo. You just hope it goes a long, long time. Anyway, hey, it's good to be back, everybody. We're gonna get into it today. Here's this. Video game talk. I'm going to start with a game that I pulled this week that I'm really very happy with. Actually, it was about a week and a half ago, but we didn't have a show last Monday, so I'm going to share it with you now.
Choo-choo.
I picked up Children of Morta.
Ooh.
Children of Morta.
Children of Mordor. I mean, Morta.
Morta is the correct word. It's kind of a weird name, but anyway, it is a game, as you may imagine. All right, here's what makes it unique. It is roguelike in the truest sense of the word. Lots of deaths, come back better than you were before, fight again, do better, that sort of thing. Beat the bosses, go to the next level, and so on and so forth. It is currently on Steam. It is coming to Switch. I'm of the belief that the Switch would be a near perfect platform for this game. Whether or not I'd buy it twice, I haven't decided yet, but... very, very pleased with it on PC. It's currently $20 on PC or maybe a little less on sale. It is a weird combination. It's clear to me that the people who made this game are big Diablo fans for a couple of reasons. One, you literally hear music in it that is like straight up, if not lifted from Diablo, highly inspired from. Yeah. Like that weird, that guitar, that ling, ding, ding, ling, ding, ding thing, Tristram song thing you always used to hear. And there's a lot of that in here. And, it's just all very reminiscent of that. It is also kind of Rogue Legacy, kind of, Dead Cells, kind of that structure where you go in, you get upgrades, you die, you go home, you come back, that sort of thing. So, and it's all wrapped up in this really nice retro-looking package, but it's clearly graphics that wouldn't exist in the time that it's inspired from. It's one of those, hey, we're going to look retro, but it's obvious that this is a modern game.
Right. This is just style.
Yeah,
right?
It's a style choice, exactly. That's a good way to put that. And I think it's the right one. I really like how they've integrated it. You start with a sword and shield dude whose name is Mark or Dave.
His name is... Oh, hi, Mark.
Hi, Mark. I did not hit her. Anyway, so it's like this... So, all right, here's the deal. It's a family. And the family, the Bergersons or something like that.
Right,
The names are super normal. Like, it's one of the things that kind of threw me at first, and I really like about it. Endears me to the game. Like, the grandma who's, like, the mystic and is finding out why the land can't sleep and what corruption has risen again. Oh, you got to go out and save it. Her name is freaking Martha. Or is it Martha? It's something like that. But a real basic
name. Mom's name is Martha. And then, oh, we got a thing going on.
And then there's Dave, and then there's, like... All these names, they're just the silliest, like, most normal names.
Generic.
Yeah. Uncle Ted is one of the guys, and Ted's a guy who helps your weapons and your armor get better and that sort of thing. And they're all in this house.
Hey, I'm Ted. I'm here to keep you from getting dead.
And you slowly, it depends on how you want to do your play style, but you unlock different family members that can play the game, and they have different abilities. So right away, the dad has this daughter, and she's an arrow expert. And pretty quickly you can access her and play with her. So if you want to play a range sort of bow and arrow type class, that's her. If you want to play more melee, then obviously the dad is the way to go to start with. Eventually the little brother, his name is Kevin. And I'm not kidding. Kevin joins the fray. And Kevin is like a little, like a swift little cat-like rogue. Got two blades. The more he hits something, the faster he hits. So he's got like a lot of frenzy type attacks and that sort of thing. He can dash out of the way more than other characters, this sort of thing. He's very good. I like that kid a lot. He's probably my favorite actually play style so far, but I'm 100% sure we got a magic person coming. I just haven't gotten there yet. And it's probably the sister, maybe the granddaughter. I don't know. But the reason the family part matters is in between these levels and in between runs on these dungeons to try to get better and beat the bosses and all that, they tell a bunch of story. And the story is really cool. Got this great VO narrator who's like, Martha was in the kitchen rubbing two
things
together.
Don't lose that thought, but the camera's out. Go ahead.
Oh, it is? What camera? Oh, it is. I'm sorry, everybody.
The film. Yeah, the video.
Yeah, sorry. I don't know why that's showing up. That's very weird. Thank you. Anyway, she... what was my point? I forgot. They just have these little story beats. The camera zooms way in. The characters don't talk, but the narrator kind of just tells you what's happening. And it's really good. Like, super, really compelling story about these little pixelated characters. And I love it.
This is great because this sounds a lot like my first game I want to talk about in just a minute.
Really?
Yeah. It sounds like we got a similar experience.
Yeah, it does sound like that to me. Oh, there you go, chat room. Sorry, I don't know what happened to that window. It is. It's really cool. And as you get further in and you level up your own personal abilities per character. But then there's overall stuff you level up for the whole family that you do back at the house and also as part of your character progression. And then everyone in the family will take advantage or have benefits from an individual's leveling up. So if the daughter levels up, she may upload or she may unlock a thing that makes you just generally faster, like your character moves faster. And everybody in the family will benefit from that speed boost, not just her. So there's a lot of stuff like that. I think it is a wonderful, delightful thing.
Right.
Now, earlier, chat room, how much of the video did you not see? Was it all of it? Have I not shown it until now? Because I feel stupid because that was really good stuff I showed you earlier. I'm not going to go back.
I was showing some really good footage. I'm not sure there was, like this. I was kind of popping over to look myself.
Yeah.
This kind of reminds me of...
none of it. It was all black. I apologize. I don't know what happened there. Oh, you know what? Because I had to reboot everything for my stupid router and I forgot to reset that up. Anyway, long story short... it's this wonderful thing that I can't get enough of, and I love playing it. One recommendation, if you're going to play it, certainly if you have the Switch, then you will have a controller, but if you're going to play it on PC, which is where I have it right now, you can play mouse and keyboard, and it's okay. It's fine, but I really prefer controller on this.
We're watching the Archer do her thing, and there's no way I would want to play this on a keyboard. I hate aiming like that, top down with the mouse. I don't like it. I don't like it one
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, it's you're basically moving with WASD and then you're firing with the mouse.
Right.
It's not terrible, but again, like I said, the optimal way to play the game would definitely be with a controller, and the controller feels great. It basically works like a dual stick shooter on the combat, and then, you know, different buttons do different things. You have special abilities. Every character has a unique special. It's a co-op experience, couch co-op. I wish it was online, but the couch co-op is cool because somebody else can take another character and you work on this stuff together. My guess is I would have an easier time with these bosses if I had somebody with me, but it's cool. It's got Diablo-like stuff in it. It's got roguelike stuff in it. It doesn't dump loot everywhere except gold. You get lots of gold falling out of people. Yeah. Lots of treasure chests full of gold. And then runes you can wear that'll give you faster speed for the next few minutes. They also have kind of a... What are they in Diablo that you touch the towers and they give you, you know, more damage for a little bit? What's that called? Obelisks? Whatever it is. They have stuff like that in here. Obelisk style buffs.
Obelisk.
No, it's obelisk, isn't it?
I thought it was obelisk. I don't know. I like to fancy it up. This is like a word that needs fancying. You don't want to play that one down too much.
Well, you definitely fancied it up. I've never felt so fancy in my life. Children of Morta, available now. Steam, and like I said, coming to a Switch near.
How much do you pay for this game?
$20,
and yeah. It just came out this year, right?
Came out like 2 weeks ago or something like that.
2 weeks ago, perfect.
Yep, it's pretty new.
Might pick this up.
I like it a lot. I feel like if I have a short list of my favorite things I've played so far in 2019, this is definitely on there. I need to get further in to give it final judgment, but it feels pretty good. And also, I'm drawn to these games. I love this stuff. I love repeatable content and, you know, good basic mechanics that just are fulfilling in their own way. And then, you know, it's difficult, but not so difficult that you want to slam your controller through this door or whatever. It's just a nice, good time in there. So I would recommend it. And if it's not, if you're like, oh, I don't know, this doesn't sound like it might be for me, wait for a sale or something. It'll show up there. It's very cool. Again, the game is called Children of Morta, M-O-T-A, M-O-R-T-A, rather. And it's on Steam.
Children of Morta.
And again, Switch version, probably rad. But
probably the best way to go.
Probably. That'd be my guess. All right, tell me about Oddmar.
Well, see, Oddmar came out last year, and it is a action-adventure platformer with our title character, Oddmar, who is set in the world of Vikings and also within the Norse mythology. You get to go against bosses such as big giant creatures of Norse mythology. Mm. And this game, like you had experience with yours, is deftly narrated. It is a beautiful narrated tale. Oddmar, as you may would guess, is a ginger Viking. Of course, what else would he be?
Yeah.
But he's short and cute. He's like two heads tall. He's one of those kind of characters, you know. He's like if your head's this big, then he's only two of those, right?
Yeah.
Well, he's got a friend, and his friend's I'm assuming is going to be revealed a little later on in the story. I haven't gotten to that point. I've played a pretty good bit, but haven't gotten all the way through yet.
Mm.
By the way, only available for the iOS and Android devices, which is sad because this game is so much bigger than a mobile game. It's one of the richest action adventure platformers I have played on mobile gaming. And
does it bum you out? Does you bum you out when things like that aren't also on more mainstream controller based systems?
It really does, because
phones are the most mainstream thing ever. I shouldn't have said it that way, but you know what I mean.
Oh yeah. Yeah, this is from the creators who did Leo. Leo's World? Is that what it was called?
I don't know.
I think it was called Leo's World. No, Leo's Fortune. Leo's Fortune is what it was called. Do you remember that game?
Kind of, vaguely.
Little fuzzball with the mustache, the big mustache.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
This was their follow-up game to that. Won some awards back in 2018. Has been doing great. I recognized it, but had not played it. But I'm getting ready for this Thursday. Apple is doing their arcade.
Yeah, is this on there? Is this one of them?
And this is one of them that I saw being popped up.
Oh,
and
that's cool.
But I went ahead and purchased it. I think I paid $4.99 for it. Didn't hurt my feelings any because it was a really is a really good game. It's about 4 hours worth of gaming. I'm only about 2.5-3 hours in. I got to play this thing with a controller because I got so excited about the Apple Arcade that I thought, but some games on the mobile devices just aren't fun unless there's better controls.
Yeah, and I agree. I agree.
And
so that's, by the way, that's how I feel very strongly about, what's it called? Oh, I just forgot the name. They had a first one. It's like a Zelda game, basically. It looked like one.
Right.
Oh, I can't remember the name, but the sequel. Oh, Oceanhorn 2. That's it.
Oceanhorn. Right,
Oceanhorn
right.
2 is coming out, and that thing will sync up with an Xbox controller or a PlayStation 4 controller, and will run on an Apple TV, will run on a freaking iPad, iPhone. That genuinely gets me excited for games that will take advantage of controller use.
Right, right. Yeah. So Oddmar, I ordered a controller off Amazon. It's like $20, and it looks just like a PlayStation 4 remote, like a controller. And I downloaded this app called Shooting Plus, and it allows you to assign your buttons and control sticks to certain areas of the screen. So you start a game like Oddmar, you do a screenshot of where the touch spots would be, because you just do a little screenshot of it, and then you go into the app and you map the areas where it'll be. For Oddmar, it was very easy because there's just a couple of spots on there. There's one for jumping, one for slamming really quickly, and there's one for swinging your sword or your axe, and there's one for just movement left and right. And did I say jump already? I think I did.
I think you did. It's fine, though. It's fine.
I did. So very easy to map, and there's also already mappings out there by other people who can upload these mappings, and there's Fortnite and different things you can play. But, man, talk about having fun. I really enjoy playing this with a controller. I don't know if I would have had as much fun playing it with, just pressing different parts of the screen.
I love the art style on this. The art style is so cool.
It is fantastic. And the best part about it is the animations, because everything is so well animated, and you just fall in love with the Oddmar character, because he's just so fun loving. The town has actually sent him away. He's does not fit in with the town because everybody else is trying to get to Valhalla, right? Mm-hmm. Even his parents have already moved on and left, and so he's all alone now. And he wants to be, a good adventurer, but he's just he also has fun getting high on shrooms. So there's actually these parts where you go and you'll get in the you'll get to certain areas and you'll walk up to this mushroom kind of guy, and he'll blow smoke in your face, and you'll all of a sudden go into this other world, this spirit world. And you'll start, usually that's where you get your big, all your big coin collecting, which is really diamonds. It's not coins, but it's kind of like coins.
Yeah.
By the way, when you get those coins, you're collecting those coins for a reason. Thank goodness. I can't stand all the games now that just have a coin count with no purpose behind the coin count. This one has a purpose. You'll adventure along, you'll run across a merchant, and you can upgrade your shield and your sword and to different things like axes and hammers, like you would expect in Norse mythology.
Mm-hmm.
There's checkpoints along the way, so you don't get too deep in and get messed up. The platforming is pretty challenging. It's not so impossible, but it's pretty challenging. It's like I said, Oddmar. I love this game. I hate that I just now found it in 2018, but I think a lot of people will be falling in love with this once they get this Apple Arcade.
Oh, yeah. It looks really good. Like, this looks like the kind of game that I'm a little bit surprised didn't end up on other platforms, because it's a true platformer. We're not talking about endless runner or swipe left and swipe right kind of thing. You're talking about an actual platformer game.
I was blown away. I was like, I got so excited. I was like, dude, I'm going to totally get this on Steam. And I was like, what is only on these two devices? And I'll tell you, if you have it to play on your phone or your iPad, if that's the option for you, definitely go with the iPad, because the is so beautiful, but there's a lot going on.
Mm-hmm.
And you're a little small. I got a little standard 7 iPhone, and that screen is pretty small. And the iPad was a much better experience. I really enjoyed it.
Well, that's awesome. It looks really good to me. Well, that sounds like a fine game, but let me tell you a little bit about a small indie developed game, very small game, called Gears 5. You might know the Gears of War series, and this is the latest in the Gears series. So they quit calling it Gears after, or Gears of War after 3. 4 was the first one where they just called it Gears, Gears 4. This is now Gears 5. And it is a over-the-shoulder third-person shooter in the vein of all the Gears games. If you've never played one, well, then you're probably like, well, nothing's going to start me playing it now. Maybe that's true. I don't know. But I am the thing I'm happiest to report about this incarnation of the Gears games is, number one, the graphics are crazy good. It is a beautiful, beautiful game. It's rendered and done and whatever in the Unreal 4 engine, latest Unreal tech. And it really shows. It's just gorgeous. The lighting's insane. The character interactions are amazing. The animations are really good. Lots of really seamless transition between cinematic stuff with the characters and them in the real world or the actual gameplay. And if you like Gears, I think you're going to like it. If you hate Gears, if you hate, you know, cover, pop and cover sort of shooting mechanics where you're hiding behind a chest level wall and then, you know, shooting until the creature goes dead or him doing the same, then you'd probably be like, well, all right, still not for me. But I'm having a blast in this thing. I'm having a really good time.
I played the tech demo or the tech, whatever it was, when they released beforehand.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed it as well. And I have a couple of Gears before, Gears 3 and 4.
Yeah.
And I had a little bit of problem with the bro attitude.
It's very bro gamey. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I would actually argue the 1 through 3 are very dude bro.
Bro. Dude bro.
I would say there's still an element of that. So I don't want to, fool anybody into thinking that you're still, you're not going to get any of that. You're still going to get a ton of that. But the game, the story, the campaign is a lot less of that this time around.
A lot less.
4 was
and
as
I like
well.
I like the character designs too, because they're less bulky. They're a little bit over the top in the previous Gears games, in my opinion. I like these guys seem a little more fit, a little more capable of doing some of these things.
Yeah, it's also just a little more, it's just a bit more refined version of the Gears games. But still, if you want some ultra violence, you want some chainsaw cutting dude in half, if that's what you're looking for, I got good news for you. The Gears of War is still interested in those things. I won't give anything away about story points so people can play it themselves. I think it's so far a very good campaign, although I have spent most of my hours in the game playing multiplayer in horde mode with friends, because they just also happen to have it. By the way, Game Pass is just making it so much easier for me to find people who I know who have this thing, because we're all getting Game Pass these days. So I didn't have to pay $60 for this game. I'm just playing it.
It's on the Xbox Game Pass right now. If you have the Xbox, I think the Game Pass for the Xbox itself is like $10 a month, or if you get the Ultimate, you can have it both on the PC as well as the Xbox.
So this is what they drove me to do. I don't have an Xbox at all. I'm playing this on PC. What I decided to do, I had the $5 a month one that gave you just PC.
Right.
And that one's good, except you don't get a lot of DLCs and some other extra stuff. It's just sort of base game kind of things that you get with that. If you get the Ultimate, though, I haven't looked at every game, but it seems like with Ultimate, I get way more stuff. So I went ahead and opted for it because they have a 2-month dollar a month thing going anyway.
Yeah.
And then when that's over, you start paying the 14. But I think there's enough here that'll keep me around. And worst case, if I'm not loving it, I'll cancel it for a while until something comes that I want to play. But
it's what you do.
It's just, it looks insane on my PC. Just looks incredible. Right. And I'm not saying people should play this just for the graphics. There's plenty of games out there with great graphics, but it is a good combination of things. If you missed the Gears series, if you haven't played it in a while, I haven't played since 2. I didn't play 3. That was 360 days. It was a long time ago.
Oh yeah.
And, coming to this has just kind of been a nice return to a thing I forgot I kind of liked. So, playing Horde with friends is really fun. We played all the way to level 50, on the easy setting, and it was still challenging. We still died toward the end, but just a lot of fun coordinating with your friends and killing dudes and watching stuff blow up. Yeah, and it's just a really cool game. It made me want more from the universe in other ways. And I know there's that crappy little strategy game on phones now, that's based on the what are these called over here? These stupid dolls. What are those called?
The dolls. Yeah, the big giant dolls.
Yeah, the. What are they called? Not doll. They're not.
They're called Barbies. They're called Barbies, Scott.
The stupid headed things with the black eyes. You know what I'm talking? Funko Pops. Jeez Louises.
The dolls. They're not dolls.
They're not dolls. They're
not dolls. They're my collectibles.
They're collectibles, sure. And I hate them. I really don't like them because I think they're all too samey looking. I just don't think they're that cool. But anyway, there's that game that basically is like Supercell's
Clash Royale. Thing they got.
Yeah, it's like Clash Royale and not a very good one from what I've heard. I haven't played it, so I really can't speak to it. But
yeah, I took a peek, but I didn't actually play it. I actually didn't even download it, I think. But
Well, I think this is good. It's a nice return to form for them. I mean, 4 was okay received, but I think this may be doing even better for people. I know it's doing better for me.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And I would recommend it. I don't know if would I say if you didn't like Gears before, don't do it. But if you're already getting Game Pass, there's no reason not to try it out. And that's what I like about these new services. Just try it, man. It's not going to hurt anything. So again. Gears 5, I'm on PC. Get it on Xbox if you want. Part of Game Pass if you want. Otherwise, $60. It is a big new release. And there are a ton of people playing multiplayer right now. So there's no shortage of matches to be had there.
No shortage.
Brian, speaking of Game Pass, how is Sea of Thieves Anniversary Edition? How is it?
So, you know, here on The Boop Show, we've kind of switched our format a little bit. We're doing more indie games as well as game services. And like Scott said, we're doing... been playing some Gears 5 and I've also picked up Sea of Thieves. I picked up Sea of Thieves. I'm sure you've heard of it. It's that Rare game, action adventure, first person, hi ho on the high seas. Get your pirate on, right?
Yeah.
Yep. That's what you gotta do. You gotta get your pirate on. And I had kind of not ever given it a chance, but with No Man's Sky surprising me so much with how good it's gotten since its release. I've been revisiting some games that kind of had mixed reviews and they came out and I kind of like said, I'll wait. And I've heard people say, hey, Brian, Sea of Thieves is one of those games. You got to get in. And I'm like, all right. So I got in and instantly remembered why I deleted it last time. The marketing stuff for Sea of Thieves is one style and it is amazing. It is such a cool marketing look, and it's got this, you know, watercolor looking stuff and everything looks serious and you're like, oh, this is gonna be a badass, you know, pirates, I'm gonna be so cool. And you get in and the first thing you got is these big clunky, you know, big characters, this so cartoony, just dancing around. I'm like,
I thought you'd like the cartoony and not like the cartoony.
What are you Fortnite me over here? So it's like, but that's just initial reaction. My initial reaction was I was disappointed that the style was different when I expected. I wish they had marketed it in a way that would have been, you know, more transparent for me because
I get it, sure.
I don't mind playing those kind of games. I don't mind that at all. I just don't like thinking, you know, it's like if you pick up a glass of soda. You're like, oh, here's some soda. Mm-hmm. And you drink it and you realize, oh my God, I have tea.
Yeah.
And you know, it's like, this is not right. And that's kind of how I felt at first, but that's not fair because once I started playing the game, I get it. It's a fun game. I really like it. At least from the place that I played it, I played mostly solo.
Oh yeah. This. You need to crew around in this thing, don't you?
You do need to crew around, but I'm afraid that the longevity of me playing may not work because this is really at its heart. The most fun part I had about it was being the sailing sim part. So when you get out on the open seas and on your, you pick your ship and you can pick solo or you can pick, you know, a medium sized crew or a large crew. Made the mistake, by the way. I thought that when I started, I thought it was asking me if I wanted easy, hard, you know, or impossible. And so I said, oh, I'm going to play medium. Mm-hmm. Didn't realize that meant I was not going to get to play by myself and had like a small crew. And I'm like, I don't like these people. They're, you know, it's people popping on and their babies are crying in the background. I'm like, I don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, ah.
You're basically, you know what you're describing? You're describing a problem that I have. I don't know what the deal is with me, but I love when games are multiplayer, even massively multiplayer, but most of the time I want to be left alone. Do you know what I mean? Like, I just want to get in and I want to play. I don't necessarily want a bunch of people to have to coordinate with. I don't want to be on voice comms unless I want to be. I want to choose. And so when a game leans more that direction, I get frustrated. It's not my favorite thing.
That's what I like about World of Warcraft. You don't have to group up. You can choose to go raid and stuff later, but for the most part, you can just play your little solo hunter like I like to do until it's time to get together and team up. And this kind of gives you two options. It's kind of, you know, it's either solo play or you can jump in with a crew, and it's going to be a medium crew or a large crew. And like I said, I went back and played the solo version, which is how I preferred it. And I got to know everything. I got to understand how to navigate the ship and to, you know, to get to my locations, get my quest. And it really is a lot of fun just doing the sailing and questing part for me. I don't know how far I'll be able to go with it because some of the quests are kind of simple and most of the challenges are just rough seas and choppy seas. And also the occasional, by the way, I had a random encounter with a Kraken. That did not go well. That did not go well for Brian. I'm doing my little thing. When you're by yourself on a ship, you have to do a lot of things. You have to operate the sails. You have to operate the, you know, you got to turn your wheel. Oh, I got to go south. So you're trying to turn everything and you make sure the anchor's up. Cause like, hey, well, I'm not going anywhere. Well, the anchor's not up. And then you got to run downstairs from, you know, up from the navigation area. I got to run downstairs and look at the map and go, okay, where am I at? Where's my ship? Oh, it's here. Where's my location? Oh, it's here.
Yeah.
Then you realize that you set a course for an island and that you're about 5 feet away from it. And you need to run upstairs really quickly and hit the anchor or you'll run into something, which is what I did a lot. And then you have to repair the ship. So then you have to run down into the underneath the boat and you have to board things up. Then you realize you don't have any boards. Oh no. But I dig all that stuff, trying to balance all that stuff in a ship by myself. I'm sure it would be fun with a group of people too. Like, you know, if, hey, Scott, you need to get us heading north. And then I can, you know, you could be up top doing your thing. That would be fun.
Yeah, no, we could. There. I mean, playing together is always fun, right? Like,
yeah, I wouldn't want to play with just some random hooligans.
I don't
which
either.
Which is what you probably have to do most.
That's what I'm talking about. I don't want to do that. And a lot of games want you to because that's where the core gameplay concepts come in. But it's the reason I liked World of Warcraft so much because other MMOs were forcing me to do things with people, and WoW was like, it might be easier, but you know what, you can go on your own, you can be on your own here, you can be a priest and still kill stuff, so enjoy. Like that was unheard of at the time, and people forget just how, you know, changing that was, that they steered into letting players kind of do what they wanted, and that was big for me. So I don't know, I've just never been one of those guys. If I'm going to be in with some friends, that's one thing. If I'm playing Heroes with friends or Overwatch or whatever, I'm in. Let's do it. We got friends. Let's talk. Let's do whatever. But those are the people I want to do it with. I don't want to get in and go, hey, fellas, who wants to friend me up on Snapchat? Y'all want to go in? Like, I don't want that.
I don't want that experience. But I'll tell you, Sea of Thieves, man, it is a lot of fun. I can definitely see myself putting in some big hours in this game. And I am going to. We've got a group on our Discord server, and we're gonna rally up, do some coop.
Why don't we do some, you and I should
coop boop.
Get in there. Let's do it.
Absolutely. Cause you got the Game Pass, get it.
Yeah, I got it. I own that damn thing. I think it's installed
too. We'll get in there. Yeah. It is a lot of fun. I love the navigational elements of how this game works because you don't have just like a heads up display. There's no HUD or anything. You have things like, oh, where's my map at? Let me pull my map out. And you have to look at it and you can hold it up to you. And then you can kind of let it down and flip it over and look at the back. And there's information there. And then it's like, oh, I need to know where I'm at in the world. Well, you can't just like pull up a mini map or something, or a little, you can't hit the M key and pull it up. You have to head over to your ship, you know, and you have to head down to the table and look at the table and go, okay, where are we at?
Mm-hmm.
So there's just like this element to it that it feels old school. It feels not old school in the sense of, you know, 8 bits or anything, but old world is in, there was a bunch of easy stuff. You don't have a big old helmet that's got all your technology in it. You have to actually go and You have to earn it.
Earn it.
You have to earn it.
Well, I like earning it.
Sea of Thieves.
Sea of Thieves. Catch it.
Xbox Game Pass.
Catch it.
Catch it if you can.
Catch if you can. All right. Well, that's excellent. Let's play. Are you still getting ferrite dust until the end of time?
Oh, dude, I am now on my third platform for No Man's Sky.
Well, I gotta ask this. You were last time I watched you stream this, and last time we talked about it, you were playing on the PC. You're now playing on the PlayStation 4. What happened? How did that happen?
Well, I started on the PC. I have a 1050 Ti on my laptop. It does an okay job, but it was a little bit stuttery some parts. So I got the Xbox version, but I just got an Xbox S, and it was a little bit stuttery there too. And I said, well, my most powerful platform I really have is my PlayStation 4 Pro.
Yeah.
And so I picked it up there. It's the performance isn't that big of a difference, but I've enjoyed hopping between them. And I really, No Man's Sky now at this point, you can, even the Beyond update, you can pick it up between $20 to $30. Mm-hmm. And so even though I've bought it for all three, I've only spent like $60 total. Mm-hmm. And I've enjoyed it. Only thing is there's no central server where you can like save your saves. So it's each platform has its own save. So I keep having to start over, which is fine because I've learned so much. It takes 40 hours in No Man's Sky just to even get started, just to even understand the basics.
Sure.
And now I'm at a point that I feel like I'm really learning some stuff. I'm earning some big coins, some big credit, and I'm getting, I'm finding ships, abandoned ships, and getting those things, and you know, making lots of coin, learning lots of things, learning lots of Gek. Gek is my favorite.
Oh yeah, Gek is your favorite. Although, wait till you learn what the true Gek deal
the true
is.
Nature of the Gek is.
There's some trouble there with the Gek.
Uh-oh.
I'm not going to tell you what it is. I'm just saying, just, you know, watch out.
Right. Just watch out for those guys. You're kind of...
Watch out for the Gek. Yeah, they'll get you right in the a-hole if you're not paying attention. All right. Well, that's all well and good. Check this out.
It's a mean Mario!
Hey, that sound means only one thing. Time for us, you and I, that is, to say, to put our heads together and do a little Guess My Game. Yeah, that's right. Brian has a game clip, and so do I, and we try to guess what each other's game clips are based on audio alone. These can be old games, new games, games no one knew about or forgot about, whatever we want. That's what we do, and I always
whatever
start.
Whatever we want.
So here, I'm going to start now. Are you ready for my game, Brian?
I am so I am ready to receive your game.
You're ready to receive my game? My limp game?
Do it.
All right, here,
bring it on.
Here it comes then. I'm going to play it now, see if you can figure out what it is. The only hint I will give, this was an arcade game in 1981. Okay?
Oh, that's really old stuff.
It is pretty old. Here you go. Whoops. Hold on. It's kind of loud, sorry. Any ideas yet?
I don't know, but man, they used every single bit they had for that audio, man. Yeah. I'm telling you.
Doesn't it feel like it's like every sound in a very 80s car kind of thing?
Yeah.
In a lot of ways, it is that because I think they stole some sounds. They also stole some imagery from some other games. This game had 99 levels and no ending.
Holy crap.
Yep. Do you give up?
Yeah, I can't say I know this one.
It's a terrible, terrible video game that I played in the arcade a few times because I didn't know any better. I was very young in 1981. The game is Funky Fish. Funky Fish.
Funky Fish. Funky Fish. I don't think I know that one.
Created by Sun Electronics.
Makes sense.
99 levels and a bitch ain't one. Isn't that a song? Fish. That's a song, isn't it?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. You nailed it.
Yeah, look up Funky Fish. Now, here's the parts that I think some of the sound effects are stolen, but straight up, when you kill these creatures, cherries fall out of them, and the cherries that fall out of them are the exact same ones that Pac-Man eats. And the gulp sound is awful similar.
Yeah.
It's not
good.
Holy
crap. Yeah. They stole everything. I've never seen this before. This is a new one on me.
It's a bad video game, guys. Just throwing it out there. It is not good. But I have memories
Funky
of it.
Fish.
I have memories of it. It was in this weird arcade we had, and that's the only place I ever saw it. I never saw it again. If I go to Nickelcades and stuff today, no one has Funky Fish. So your best bet.
Well, they had the Atari 2600 version. That's right. Now you can bring home the home version of the Sun Electronics arcade game Funky Fish for one player with the joystick controller.
How much?
Buy now.
How much?
Buy now. I don't know. They're probably selling it for $24.99 back in the day.
Yeah, it's something. So go watch. There's a YouTube video if you guys want to go see more in the world of Funky Fish. Funky Fish Medina. Right. All right, Brian, I'm playing yours now. Let's see if I can guess what this is. I have no idea. Let me try it out. Here we go.
So easy.
Okay.
The year is 1994.
94, is this home console thing or arcade?
This is not at the arcade.
Okay, this is at home.
Guess what platform or developer?
That sounds like a Super NES.
Right? It's got to be Nintendo, right?
Yeah.
So that's right. Nintendo.
I know the sound chips between those two. Oh, is this Donkey Kong Country?
Oh, you heard a little bit there. There was some music in there from the Donkey Kong, but it wasn't Country.
Okay, hold on. Donkey Kong. Oh, it's the Diddy Kong one.
Nope.
Getting
colder.
All right, hold on. Donkey Kong's Great Event. That time Donkey Kong licked my chode. I have no idea.
This one you could find on your Game Boy back in 1994. It was Donkey Kong 94.
Oh, I didn't know that was a thing.
I didn't either until I saw this. Also, by the way, Google users have rated this at 94%.
Wow, look at that. Yeah, I'm seeing it now. I didn't know this was a game. I mean, I wasn't a huge Game Boy guy at the time, but didn't know this was a thing.
I was not that time, no.
I didn't know this was a thing at all. But I did know that Nintendo has a very specific sounding sound chips in all of their devices. Even their older 8-bit stuff. And when you compare that up to, say, a Genesis, the Genesis had this weird, almost like hot electric
blast processing
sound. Yeah, but the sound was weird. It was never as good, and it was always kind of metallic-y. It's hard to explain, but I can hear. All I have to hear is just a tiny bit. I can tell you exactly what version it's for. So you could say, okay, here's Street Fighter. Which version is this for? And I'd go, oh, that's Genesis. Like easy, snappity snip snap.
Yeah, yeah.
By the way, I want that Genesis Mini pretty bad.
Oh yeah, I'm getting one. It's gonna go nicely next to my PlayStation Classic and my Nintendo, my SNES Mini. Yeah. My NES Mini.
Yep. They have these on Amazon, do they? Let's see.
Have they come out yet?
I think so. Pre-order. Anyway.
I guess it is September, isn't it?
$79. Yeah. Prime delivery. Is it pre-order? Yeah, it's a pre-order for the 19th, but that's like in just 3 days.
Ah, yeah. I'm going to say it's very, I knew it was sometime this month.
Yeah, well, I just bought camera stuff. I can't buy it yet.
Right. Okay. Kim, I'm buying again.
Yeah, more money. The reviews, though, so far are really good from the sites that have gotten them early. They're all like, this is a really good net retro console with tons of great games on it. Like, I'm actually looking forward to getting this. So
I think it's going to be one of the better ones. I think they probably saw what Atari and what PlayStation did and said, well, we don't want to do that. We better make it right.
Well, and this is also them. This is them guarding their legacy and actually not having people just forget Sega used to be a huge powerhouse in this industry.
Right.
Because they were, and they deserve credit for it. And I'm glad that this looks like, you know, a true tribute to that. I did notice the pack-in controller is just the 3-button one. I wish it was the 6-button. I loved that thing.
Yeah, I did too.
6-button controller was great.
I got one of the 6-button
ones. I got one of those with the, because they redid a few Genesis models, and down the road you could pick up a whole new Genesis and end up with just the 6 buttons built, you know, packed in.
Right.
So I'm a little bummed about that, but also this is trying to be true to the original Genesis, so I get it.
Yeah. I wonder if I can plug my 32X module on top of that.
Oh,
thing.
My lord. No, but that'd be cool if you could. You'd need a 32X mini to go in there.
Right. Little bitty mini. Yeah. 32. Gunk.
Itty bitty mini.
Little bitty mini.
It's cool. Also, I think it's only one controller that is with it.
It looks like, which is disappointing, but it might be two on there. I've seen one shot with two. Let's see. I'm trying to scroll your video. I'm like,
oh, don't do that.
I thought I was looking at the webpage. I'm like, why can't I scroll? Okay. Oh, there it goes.
Oh, they're doing.
Yes, it's two. It said two wire controllers. I just saw it. So there is two wire controllers. So that's good. It really just depends on whether or not there was going to be multiplayer games or not, right?
Yeah, but here's the problem. They've got Virtua Fighter 2 in there, one of the greatest fighters of all time.
Right.
That needs a six-button controller, man.
It does. It really does.
So I'm a little annoyed by that.
I bet you can plug yours in. What do you think?
I don't know. I'm sure you can use like the USB or the 8-bit. What's that company? They make the 8-bit. You know what I'm talking about. They make SNES-looking controllers, and they have a six-button Genesis ripoff and all that. Those probably work.
Yeah. Is that the AK Games? No, that's not it.
It's 8-bit dough or something. Yeah, 8-bit do.
Right. I said yes.
Yeah. I'm dough.
8-bit do.
8-bit dough. Anyway, Sega Genesis Mini available soon for $79.99 US.
They're just giving them away.
They really are. All right. That'll do it for that. Always fun to play that little game. Do I win today? Neither of us did. We had to tell each other what we
did. No, we didn't really win. It was a draw.
Now this.
But didn't we win?
Or did we win? We all win in the end. Everyone wins. Mm. The listeners win because we were dumb. Check it out. An email from a listener. They sent this email to boopshow@gmail.com. They say, hello, Scott and Brian. By the way, this is from someone who would like to be anonymous. All right.
Oh.
They don't want anybody knowing who they are, and I don't blame them.
Now, is this a single person, or is this the anonymous, like the movement?
This is the person who doesn't want their name said, but maybe they hack on the side. I don't know. Who knows?
Gotcha.
Says, hello, Scott and Brian. Scott, I understand you find anime sexy games creepy and all. I'm also a bit ashamed of having enjoyed some of them for the titillation and or the story and or the gameplay. Says, because we talked about this recently, right? We were talking about how I don't understand the sexy anime games and why they do so well. Anyway, I've played a few of them over the past years, over a period where I played hundreds of normal games. Some of them depict young characters, which is not great. But I don't understand why you recommend looking at true porn instead. Why support this awful industry? These are real persons behind these pictures and videos. Aren't drawings more ethical? I'm going to say that. Let me just pause his email and just say ethical. Because they focus on like young school kids usually. And it's a certain fetishy thing going on there that. And let me put it this way. I don't think it's either or. Nobody's like turning off. They're not like, that's it. No more normal porn for me. Shunk. I'm going to watch nothing but cartoon porn because it's more ethical. No one does that. So they're watching this and then who knows what else they're watching. That's just the way it is.
Right.
All right. He says, when you talk about this type of game, maybe you're talking about only one of the specific types of anime sexy games. Here's what I think of them. Mm-hmm. Number one, jigsaw puzzle hentai games. Says, this looks very dumb. I would never buy that. I don't know what that is.
I don't either. I was just trying to figure that out. That's why I was so quiet. I'm like, jigsaw puzzles.
Yeah.
Hentai.
That's news to me. Then he's got one here called Honey Pop. I enjoyed the match 3 gameplay and the dating sim aspect. And then finally, other dating sims with stats. He hasn't tried the stats ones.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of like, I would kind of put some of those things... I would separate maybe the gameplay from the actual marketing device, which is the porn, right? Because I mean, I like playing those stupid slot machines at the truck stops or wherever you might see one, where it's got adult looking women on it. But I'm not there for the adult looking women. I'm there to watch the thing spin and see if I can win.
Yeah,
something.
You're trying to win some coins, get some sweet
coins.
Trying
to win some coins.
He goes on to say visual novels / kinetic novels. Now, this is the one that he says he likes. He says, they're not true games, but I enjoy them as much as anime. You have to press space to go on to the next line, so you're not in a hurry to read. Half of them have amazing Japanese voice acting. Some of them have great dialogue choices that change the story. Like this one, The Fruit of Grisia and Katawawa Shuji. In these two, there are many hours of story full of humor, sadness, romance, etc., way before the sex scenes. Neko Para is a bit more creepy and dumb, but cute with and Japanese kanja on top of English text helps my current learning of the language. I've tried Sakura Spirit. It's not interesting. Finally, he says, I'm ashamed of having played Galgun VR because of its creepiness. At least there was no nudity. I have to admit that this shooting gameplay was very good, and I've played tons of VR shooters. And for once, you're not shooting to kill stuff. Anyway, yeah, let's see. That was my two cents. If you want another point of view, thanks for the great podcast, Anonymous.
That was a good. It was a good point. It was good seeing the flip side to that. It doesn't sound like this person's a sleaze monster or something like, oh, Scott and Brian, you must come over to the sleaze. They just have a different perspective.
I'm not even saying it's sleazy either. All I'm saying is I cannot imagine a scenario where it's interesting to me. Circumstance.
We play for probably different reasons, perhaps. And that's a valid point about anime. Anime does have some very rich stories. It would be so popular if it wasn't, at least have some kind of value, right? Yeah. So, they're tapping into a market that's not really here in the U.S. Not as wide. We don't attack the adult theme cartoons in the U.S. So anime has that.
Well, my mom does that.
A more mature.
My mom, right. And my mother-in-law, they hate it. They hate cartoons. They still think The Simpsons is the destruction of mankind. So
it is. Well, that's not far off.
They're still going on about that 30 years later or whatever it's been.
Right. Maybe when Bot said, "Eat my shorts," we're all going to hell.
You're not far off from the truth, my mother-in-law. But anyway, I'm no judgment, man. Do what you got to do. Everybody out there enjoys this stuff. Whatever. I just cannot in any circumstance understand how I would ever be drawn to this. This is a me thing. I'm just not interested. And that's all this was ever about. It's not about whether or not you guys are perverts. It's about it's me trying to understand what about this would drive me to want to watch it. And nothing. I can't think of anything.
Right.
So there's that.
Yeah. I think we focus on other things too. Like I think we're both intrigued by interesting gameplay that appeals to us. And in graphics, as far as they go, just being visually rich, mm-hmm. being both artists, this is something we like. But I definitely know there's different taste out there. So,
of course.
Absolutely.
Of course. Absolutely. And if there are people out there who the first thing they did once you could mod in Skyrim was make all the women perfectly clean or whatever that whole thing's about. There's a whole clean character thing, fetish thing. I don't understand either. And I don't want that mod because it's. To me, it's weird. Like, what are you even doing? There's just a weird... all that stuff, I say it's weird. It isn't a judgment. It's in my head. I can't do it. I'm not saying you should.
I think maybe we need to replace the word weird. We've been haunted by that word for many years, all the way back to when I was in school myself. I heard that many times. You're weird. Just another way of saying you don't do things necessarily the same way other people do. You think a little differently. And to me... I don't understand what's going on with you. And that's weird, right?
Yeah, but
weird
then
has a very negative.
If people are looking for one word, it doesn't matter what the word is. They'll eventually that word will be treated like it's a negative or a pejorative. Right. So someone in the chat room said peculiar. I think nobody wants to be called that. Bizarro.
No, that's
wacky.
Also a negative word.
Yeah, these aren't going to work.
Bizarro. I like Bizarro. I would take Bizarro.
Superman. Me, Bizarro. I love that guy. He's the best. All right, that's going to do it for today's show. Thank you all for joining us. A quick reminder, if you want to be a part of what we do around here and want to find all our links and all our stuff, you can find it at frogpants.com/BOOP. That's frogpants.com/BOOP. If you got a bunch of old game codes you can't get rid of because you've been on different services for a long time and you're looking for a place to go, Brian and I give away codes all the time on the show. Just let us know. You can contact us on that same page, frogpants.com/BOOP. Leave us voicemails at 801-471-0462, and boopshow@gmail.com is our email address if you are predisposed for that. If you're looking for us on Twitter, boopshow, Scott Johnson, and the Brian Dunaway. That's going to do it.
On the Twitter.
Yeah, on the Twitter. Hey, any final words of wisdom for the crowd before we go?
So Apple Arcade's coming this week. I'll see you online.
Is that Friday? It's Friday.
I think it's Thursday, isn't it?
Thursday?
Is it Friday? It might be Friday, but I thought it was Friday. Thursday.
Thursday?
The ninth?
Thursday.
19th?
Friday?
Is it 19th?
Thursday.
I think it's the 19th.
Friday?
I think it's Thursday.
Friday? All right. Well, I'm getting it because I want to see what that's up to. And we'll talk about it next week when we come back for another Boop Show. Thank you, everybody, for watching. We'll see you then. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
I don't like steam.